Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you so much for giving us encouragement today through your words that you've given through your servants. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord. The victory is ours already. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to talk about manifesting first fruits. Praise the Lord. Now, some of these are prophecies, well, most all of them are prophecies, but whose time has come, that's what I would say. We're almost there. And first revelation I'm going to share is Jesus is coming in his first fruits. Teddy Lishan Desta. 6/22/2005. You shall rise up in my name, you shall stand in my very glory, in the majesty of the name of your God. You shall shepherd my flock. Micah 5:4-5, a good text for that. For the sake of my name, which I have bestowed on you, and for the divine strength that I have put in you. The obedience of the nations shall be yours, and all the nations of the earth shall bring their homage to you. All the nations shall be blessed through you. Genesis 49:10 and Psalm 72:11. For your God has anointed and glorified you. You shall be made princes and leaders to the nations, and a people who knew not you shall follow you. Isaiah 55:4, 32:1. You have eaten from the hidden manna. You have received the white stone. You have passed through the deep waters of afflictions, and you have overcome your trials. Therefore, I have given you access to my presence, and I have made you my cherished heritage. You have been made a royal vessel, a chosen seed to carry my name. Arise now and display the white stone, and manifest the name written on it. Revelation 2:17. Arise and proclaim the hidden manna. I have fed you all these years, and what you have heard in secret, now you should proclaim in the public. What you have been told in the ears, now you have to shout it from the housetops. Matthew 10:27. I have made you the express image of my Son and the manifestation of his invisible power. Hebrews 1:3, Revelation 3:12. You shall soon leave my hiding place, and you will carry his name before the nations. And those who do not bow down to this name, they shall fall and never rise again. Psalm 45:5-7. This is the day your Lord has chosen to magnify his holy name above all names. I have shaped you all these years in the furnace of affliction. You have languished under a heavy burden and endured the rod of my chastisement. I have intended you to be a caring leader, so I have chosen you by fire. Isaiah 49:11. But look, I shall come to you to open your grave and to release you from your dungeon. I shall come to you to shake off your dust and to change your humble state. And when I exert my resurrection power on your behalf and raise you from the dead and sit you on a throne in the highest place of this world, then you shall be like one who dreams. I shall place you above all dominion, principalities, and powers, and all those who will see this will acknowledge that I have exerted an exceeding power of my strength on your behalf. I have anointed you for my grand purpose. You are the chosen instrument to bring to an end the groaning and sighing of creation. Romans 8:19. You shall gather the little ones in your nurturing arms, and they will thrive under your protective care. The poor and the needy shall get solace under your guidance, and you shall destroy their destroyer and make their earth to rest in peace. You shall be the spring shower on the dry land. The lives that have been blighted by sin shall be healed and restored. The weak and the oppressed shall have their lives revived under your sight. You shall raise the dead and restore the deceased. You will be made the dew of light, which shall make the earth to sprout her dead back to life. The rubbles of generations you shall rebuild. Rubbles of generations. But you shall burn also like a fire. Malachi 3:1-2. Your blaze shall sweep the world. It shall devour all that causes offense. You shall serve me as the gatekeeper of my kingdom, lest the uncircumcised of heart enter my kingdom and defile my sanctuary. Your all-seeing eyes shall keep out the wicked, the arrogant, and the pervert from my holy city. To understand all these, look what I did in the life of Moses, when I took him from the vocation of a shepherd to make him a leader of my people. Study what I did for Joseph when I led him out of the recesses of the dark dungeon to sit him next to the king. And discern my mighty deeds, how I glorified Mordecai, lifting him up from his humble state to make him a viceroy of the Persian Empire. My people, all these are types of your end-time destiny. It shall be so with you in these last days. I have promised that the overcomer shall inherit my name and sit with me on my divine throne. He shall be my son, and I shall be his father, and he shall rule the nations with the rod of iron. Revelation 2:26-27, and 3:21-22. Get ready, your day of visitation hastens to its fulfillment. We call this one, Jesus Will Soon Bring Us to the Father. This was Amos Gagg's vision, 2006. I was on the side of a mountain with another person who I knew to be one of the sons of the prophets. I was tending a solid white lamp, or lamb, that had an ever-smooth, slick coat of wool. I was holding a white rope that was attached to the lamb's neck while it was grazing. And all of a sudden, the lamb started to move around the side of the mountain and then went straight up towards the top. The son of the prophets did not go with me. As I gave the lamb more rope, it started running full speed, higher and higher. I was so amazed that I could keep up with the lamb running like that. I never let go of the white rope that was around the lamb's neck. When the lamb broke into a full gallop, it sensed its owner and master. At the top of the mountain, was an old white-haired man, guess who that is, with a white beard, who was slowly descending the mountain to meet the Lamb. But it seemed that the old man had not moved more than 5 feet from the top of the mountain until the Lamb had reached him. The old man caressed the Lamb, and I was still holding on to the white rope that was around the Lamb's neck. Jesus, the Lamb, through the Holy Spirit, the rope will be very quickly cause us to ascend the mountain of the kingdom to our Father. I believe this will soon happen. The sons of the prophets failed to receive the anointing that I did. In 2 Kings 2:15 through 18, the sons of the prophets didn't believe that Elijah had been taken into the presence of God, but thought he was still on earth, and so were not included in the gathering. They represented those who were trained by the school of the prophets, and as such, the church system. Okay, we call this one First Fruits Rise as the World Falls. The Trumpet. This is Bill Burns, 2005. You shall be astonished as you walk forward from this day. I tell you that I am going to build my house. It is a house that no man can build, and I will build on the mountain tops, and I will build in the places that people will flow into. I will build a house of power, for indeed this is the season of the horse of power, when the sons of my right hand shall arise to their positions. I shall dispel the lies that I no longer move in power. I shall break through the darkness, for I am the light of this day, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is going to be revealed in an unprecedented way as I come forth in power and build my house. It will be a house that I can dwell in, a place of healing and resurrection, life, a place of revelation knowledge. You, my people, will see that house arise and rejoice, for I come, says the Lord. And this is Small Straws in a Soft Wind, Marcia Burns, 2005. There is a rumbling. It is my power in the earth. It is resurrection power, and I have been touched with the feeling of your infirmities. I have been touched by your grief and sorrow. Come forth, rise up, and come forth. You have been bound in grave clothes, but I call to you to come forth. I will bring you up and loose you from your bondages. I will cause you to overcome and to be victorious even over the death of things you have experienced, says the Lord. Amen. All right, we call this one Glorified in His Saints, Aaron Lim, 2006. I received this vision as I was listening to a talk by David Eales. In the vision, the whole land was dark, and nothing could be seen in the background. I saw the Lord Jesus with a light around him on the cross on top of a hill in the middle of the land. And all around, at the bottom of the hill, I saw people who looked exactly like Jesus, like they were clones of him. They were all wearing the exact same garments as each other and had the same light around them as Christ did. And they were all looking up towards him on the cross. Praise his name. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:11. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. To which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling, and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. After the vision, I knelt down to pray and closed my eyes, and I pictured Jesus Christ on the top of the hill, as if through the eyes of one of the saints. And I said to him a prayer from King David. Quote, with all my heart have I sought you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. Unquote. He looked at me and said, quote, ask the Father, because anything you ask of him will be done by the Father. Unquote. So I looked up to the sky and asked our Father, and tears started flowing from my eyes. To him be the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. My brothers and sisters, seek diligently and keep your eyes on the Son, because everything else is darkness, and in him there is hope. Ask the Father to lead you by the hand to our Lord, because we can't find him on our own. I have faith in his power to perfect all of us in Jesus Christ. Well, amen. I agree with that. And we call this one Greater Works Are Coming. Rex Brown, 2006. Last night, around 1:30 or 2 a.m., I dreamed. Actually, it was like I was translated to this place. And I was among many people of all walks of life and backgrounds. All of them were between 16 and 20 years old, except me. We were working as a team, casting out demons, praying, and exalting Jesus. We would speak, and it would come to pass. Healings, prophesying, deliverances, growing and replacing of limbs, it was awesome. It replayed several times. And I remember thinking, I'm actually here with these people doing this. The feeling of presence was overwhelming. The people were nondescript, nothing distinguished one from another, and all had in common the love, reverence, and fear of the Lord. I have a strong sense this morning that this has something to do with the birth of the man-child and how the corporate body will function. Okay, we call this a bird of prey. Teddy Lishan Desta. What I have proposed from eternity that I will perform in its appointed time. My eternal counsel shall stand, and what I have purposed will be done. I am not a man to lie, and not a son of man to change my mind. I will do what I counsel to do. I cannot deny myself. Many have written about my plan for the last days, but did they truly learn from me, or did they hear from my eternal counsels? Did they partake of the secrets of their God? Did they visit the inner recesses of my word? Were the mysteries of the Holy One of Israel disclosed to them? Had they known my counsel, they would have declared my mind. Had they truly heard from me, there would have been no error among my people. But what they spoke was of man, and what they wrote was out of the learning of man. Neither the wise of this world could know about my doing, as it is discerned by my spirit. None of their learned men could predict about my plan, as this was my much-kept secret. Which reminded me of Jeremiah 23 and 16 on. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They teach you vanity. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say continually unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And unto every one that walketh in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should perceive and hear his word? Who hath marked my word and heard it? Behold, the tempest of the Lord, even his wrath, is gone forth. Yea, a whirling tempest, it shall burst upon the head of the wicked. And the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall understand it perfectly. I sent not these prophets, yet they ran. I spake not unto them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then had they caused my people to hear my words, and had turned them from their evil way, and from the evil of their doings. My people, listen to me as I speak my heart to you, and carefully weigh my words, which are from my heart. My secrets I disclose to you, and that which has not been known to past generations, I reveal to you. You have not heard it before. Only now I lift the shroud and reveal that which has been hid from the ages. You are my chosen generation, so I reveal my truths to you. This I do so that you shall build my kingdom on earth and bring me the glory. Isaiah 48, Ephesians 1, 17 through 20, and Romans 16, 26 through 27. This is my will, my eternal counsel. Your God will stir a bird of prey, his instrument of judgment from its abode. God has readied his bird for these days. God shall use it to bring his eternal plan to pass on earth, and God's hand shall guide it into action. God will call it from the valleys of the Jordan and make it to emerge from the lowest parts of the earth. As the phoenix rises from its ashes, so shall my bird rise from from the furnaces. It will come forth from the smoldering fires, so it will gleam like burnished steel. It will ascend to the heights and strike across the skies like lightning. The world will be taken by surprise. Its appearing shall strike fear among many. I have fully equipped the bird to fulfill all that I have called it to do. Well, this phoenix is the first fruits, sons of God, I believe, in whom Jesus is resurrected from the death of the Jordan to do his works of old when he was the first fruits. They will bring truths hidden from the foundation of the world and authority to bring judgment on the beast and the harlot. Amen. Its eyes are like those of the eagle, penetrating and discerning from afar. Its wings are large and strong. It will not weary or tire. Its talons and beak are sharp and strong. None of its prey can escape its grips. My bird shall strike fear in the hearts of the kings of the earth, and the girdles of their loins will unite. I will untie. Those who eat my people, as one who eats bread, they shall be judged by my hand. Those who say they reside in their strong towers, them it shall attack and humble for their pride. Many will cry out to God for his mercy and forgiveness. Many may find the door of repentance closed. But to you, my sons and daughters of the faith, the bird shall come to you as a comforter, carrying healing in its wings. To you it shall bring good tidings, the news of eternal joy and rest. You shall get protection under its wings and deliverance from your mortal enemies. With your eyes, you shall see the destruction of the wicked and none of the pestilences coming to your gates. Praise the Lord. Malachi 4:2. I was reminded of, it says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings. And you shall go forth and gambol as the calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, saith the Lord of hosts. Back to the prophecy, you shall see my salvation coming to the earth. You shall see as the captives go free. You shall see your corporate prayers answered and your righteous petitions granted. I will wipe away your tears from your faces, and your mouth shall be filled with mirth. You will see the righteousness of God filling the world as the word of God is honored by all. Another word that came to me about this was Hosea 6:2 on down. It says, after 2 days will he revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. And let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is sure as the morning, and he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. That's how the Lord is coming. He's coming with that latter rain anointing, praise be to God, on the morning of the third day. Malachi 5:2 is also, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, which are little to be among the thousands of Judah? Out of thee shall one come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she who travaileth hath brought forth. Then the residue of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and shall feed his flock. He is in his people in this regard here to do this job. He shall stand and shall feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Amen. Therefore, my people, wait upon your God expectantly, as I am to begin to fulfill my eternal plans. But many others will attempt to fight my will, but they shall fail. And many will try to shoot down my bird of prey, but no weapon fashioned against it can prosper. I am your God, who does his eternal counsels faithfully in its appointed time. I do that which is truth, and I owe no one an apology, says the Lord. And here's another word. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about, and what I have planned, that will I do. Isaiah 46:11. I am calling a man to come from the east. He will swoop down like a hawk and accomplish what I have planned. I have spoken, and it will be done. Isaiah 46:11. For as lightning that cometh forth from the east is visible even unto the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Matthew 24:27. Okay, we call this a man-child and tribulation approach. He shall come to be glorified in his saints. Word given to Deborah Klein, 2004. You cry out to me, my love, in heavy labor, groping for the touch of my hand, the comfort of my words in thy ears. You are drunk and delirious with the birth pangs to deliver my son from thy womb. The tears of your pain have clouded thy sight and discernment as to where you are. You are here in the labor room, in the holding pattern, laboring to bring forth my son. I am with you, though you cannot see me through your suffering and labor. Do you not hear the tender words of comfort I whisper in thy ears? Am I not so close that you do not feel my heart beating with yours as the labor increases? For in just a little while he shall come forth from thy womb, and we will rejoice in him. My child in you is stirring and restless, and also labors to come forth from you. The two of you labor together through the writhing pain, and I labor with you also. The child is still now as he comes through the birth canal, still and waiting for the last powerful thrust and push to come forth from thy womb to be delivered into the earth and manifest my glory. Fear not, my beloved, I am with you. Lean on me heavily as the labor grows hard, for I hold you completely in my arms and wipe the sweat off your brow through these last excruciating pains before the final thrust. Listen, my love, Do you hear his heartbeat within you? His heartbeat is increasing as he rises up within you. Any moment now, my beloved, he will come forth. Let me wipe the tears from your eyes so that you can focus on me as the labor grows. Focus on my face and do not turn your eye from me during these last pains. Hold tight to mine arm, and the work of mine hand will deliver thee. Just a little while, my beloved, hold tight to me, and the world will know that I, the Father, have brought forth my Son through you. Fear not, my love. The dragon lies cunning in anticipation of his birth, but I am here and will protect him and you from the evil one who desires in his heart to devour him. He has no victory over my hand that delivers my Son onto the earth. Rest, my love, between the pangs of labor, for you will need to be strengthened to endure the final moments of the labor. Lay back in my arms and rest heavy upon me, for soon, very soon, my Son will come forth, and I will deliver you into my glory. And this was we call Tribulation Translations to Safety, Javier Kiefe, 2012. In the dream I had this morning, there was a nuclear missile that was headed to Earth. There were three types of people whom I saw when it was known that this missile would be crashing to Earth. The first group just gave up and started partying and drinking, reasoning, well, we're all going to die, so we might as well enjoy our last moments. The second type of people thought, everyone for themselves, and a hoarding spirit prevailed in them. My thought was, even though this missile could be a natural sign of what will come to many places on Earth, this missile is a symbol of coming catastrophe. Many people know that the end is near and lean upon whatever they trust in or gives some comfort to them. He went on. The third type of people knew that when this missile hit the earth, the yoke of this world system will be broken off of them supernaturally, and that an anointing of protection with every need provided by the hand of their Father would be speedily met. They knew that the Lord's power and great grace, like could only be imagined by the heart, would become reality. And I say that these saints knew that the end of hope in the world system brings the freedom of a new beginning. People can stop worrying about going to college and getting ahead in this world and seeking to know God and be in the secret place of the Most High, Jesus Christ. The renewed imagination of faith in the promises of God's Word will supply every need, including protection. This third group of people found that they were able to fly and be translated to help the first two types of people. And I'll share a dream below of the translations to come. The third group of people had so much faith in the good news of the latter rain anointing that they were a great help to many, and they were able to bring some to a safe house. So those who believe the gospel of Jesus, bearing the curse for us, can be delivered from it. Galatians 3 and 13. Even though some people were told about the safe house, some non-believers complained, "Nothing can help us from this coming tragedy," and they refused to enter the safe house. Well, I believe the safe house represents the abiding in the Word, the ark of Jesus Christ, and also physical places protected by angels for people who are in the ark of Jesus. The missile was seen in the air like a large, bright star falling to earth, but everyone knew it was a nuclear missile that would change the world forever once it hit. Well, we know America has been seen as a falling star also, and in the natural, one nuclear missile could bring America down to a third world nation if exploded miles in the air to hit Earth with an EMP to destroy all electronics. Iran has tested their missiles for a high air burst. Javier never saw the missile hit the Earth. Many have seen in dreams electronics come to a standstill in America. So it could physically come, too. The third group of people were at times like Peter, walking on the water. Although they could fly at times, the awe of this phenomenon troubled them and kept them from continuing to fly. Well, like Peter, when we pay attention to the wind and the waves, it drags our mind down into the natural and causes us to lose faith and sink. As these people battled with their flying trouble, they got their eyes more on themselves. They thought they were failing to lift off the ground because they were not taking off fast enough. So they started to run and tried catching speed to lift off. And then, when that wouldn't work, they thought they had to be up off of the ground and jump off something to catch air. Well, we know salvation in all its forms is by faith and not by self-works, right? Many people are going to try. They finally realized that they just had to stop confessing they couldn't fly. And when they simply professed they could fly again. Well, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Once this confusion of works versus grace through faith is passed, there will be consistency to walk in the steps of Jesus under the latter rain anointing. And although in the spiritual we fly or overcome the world by faith, real translations were common in the New Testament, early rain, and will be more so in the latter rain. Overall, there was a great peace within the third type of people, and it was spreading to some others, and the scriptures of God's promises were being quoted nonstop. And the Word was the most important thing in the world that was to be held on to. Amen. Well, Mark 11 and 23 says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, Believe that you received them, and you shall have them. So, according to this verse, if you were caught in a place of apparent danger, since you are not under the curse, you could believe God to translate you somewhere else. I believe there's going to be a lot of translations in the coming days, more than we've ever seen in the past. Okay, I'll just share this with you. Around 2010, it was before that, I think. That's just when I wrote this down. But I was translated from Louisiana many years ago to preach in tongues in some Eastern European church. It was clear that they were expecting me to appear in the pulpit, but were very excited when it happened, because they were all looking at me as I popped into the pulpit, right? More recently, I asked the Lord for this gift and have expected it after the man-child latter rain ministry begins, since it was also common in the early rain. Jesus disappeared in the numeric, John 5 and 13, Luke 4, 28 through 30, Acts 8, 39, John 10, 39, in type Ezekiel 3 and 14, 1 Kings 18 and 12, the boat translated in John 16, 6, 16 through 21. So I believe in answer to this prayer, I received a dream in which I saw large, beautiful, tasty strawberries, which I believe represent the first fruits man-child ministry, since strawberries are a spring fruit. As I examined them, they were inside a dead fish with all kinds of nasty mud and trash around it. Well, I believe this represents the man-child being born out of an apostate religious system, represented by the fish and the mud and the trash, and it represents all the garbage doctrine and living associated with this system. And also, I saw a war in which the enemy had large plastic tanks with metal straps around them, the kind used in the chemical industry, where poisons and corrosives would destroy metal tanks. Well, I'll just give you a little physical aspect of this. You know, the chemtrail planes, of course, have plastic tanks in them. They have those straps around them, everything. There are just rows of those tanks in there filled with poison. Yeah. So we sought to destroy these tanks. Well, this poison, I believe, represents strong demonic delusions sent in lying words and doctrines to destroy God's people. We are seeing some of this now. And then I saw that I had been given a gift to translate from place to place and also to move people out of harm's way by this method. Yep, that was shown to me in that vision. A group would stand beside me and be translated with me to a safe place. And I believe we're going to see a lot of this in the future. The man-child took the woman into the wilderness refuge, Revelation 12 and 5, and she was delivered of a son, a man-child who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. So when we translated, I said to the translated ones, and we didn't even have natural wings, quote unquote. In Javier's dream, flying was a translation. And there were given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. As we know, Jesus went out into the desert. Sometimes the word desert is the same as wilderness. And he taught the people away from the prying eyes of the, you know, religious authorities and even the beast, Roman beast, right? And that was to preserve them from the face of the serpent. So these next two verses could refer to the poison in the plastic tanks of strong delusions which we sought to destroy. And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Well, of course, that's saying that the world is going to receive the strong delusion that the true people of God are not going to receive, right? And especially when they see the world swallowing it, they know it's no good. We don't need that, right? Well, amen to that. Father, we just ask you in Jesus' name to keep your people this wonderful time that is almost upon us here. We're going to rejoice in greatly. And we give thanks unto you, Lord, that you're able to finish the good work you started in us. We praise and we thank you for the awesome deliverance that you're giving us from this natural creation that keeps us bound to the earth, the dust, so to speak. We have the resurrection life of Jesus in us. He has already accomplished our complete and utter salvation, and we need to partake in it through faith, accepting the perfection that he gave us at the cross when he reconciled us unto himself, made the exchange of his life for our life. We can think on these things, meditate on these things, and understand from the word that we are not under the curse of this world. The world is under the curse. Okay, we are not. And we should believe that. He bore the curse for us so we could have Abraham's blessings. That's what the word says. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing for us. Thank you for making this a reality in our minds and out of our mouth. In the name of Jesus, thank you so much. Hallelujah. All right, saints, go and be blessed. I hope this encouraged you. Amen.